Hi, my name is Sydney, and if you are my family, friends of mine, or anyone who knows me deeply and personally, turn the episode off now, because I have reached back under my bed to pull out my chest of kegs.
Should I go?
I think you should. I think it should just be me today. Yeah. Thank you for your service.
Aye, Captain. But... yeah. I'm going to put my headphones on now, and I will just sit in the corner of the room. I'm Maya.
You will be excited for today's episode, because today, the kink I'm pulling out is camming.
Okay.
Which I feel like we both love.
It's a good
thick.
It's good. Mm-hmm. It's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's good.
I mean, you've written one, so.
I have. That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Anytime I think about it, I'm like, wow. Years ago.
Yeah.
Back when I was younger.
Full of life and whimsy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During COVID.
Mm-hmm. All the time in the world.
Interesting.
But I want to talk about I think last year I did, and that was the blood kink, or the year before that. God, I don't even know at this point. It's been so long, but I decided in the lieu of the month of love and pleasure.
Yeah, that's a word. That's a word to describe this month.
But instead of doing something like super ooey gooey, fluffy, romantic, I felt maybe it'd be a little bit more fun to pull out.
Raunchy.
Sexy.
Yeah.
To pull back out my chest of kinks, which I haven't opened in a while, and like rummage around and see what I can pull out.
It's
so,
been a second.
I reached in and I pulled out a camcorder. And so.
Oh. So we're going to be talking about today. I wonder if there's any videos on there.
So, Maya, how do you feel about, I mean, camming in general or a camming fan fiction?
I mean, you already said it. I wrote one.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I think it's great. The thing is, it's one of those that compare with so many others very easily.
Oh, for sure.
I do think, like, the air of mystery that usually comes alongside it is the exciting part. But even then, exhibitionism.
Yeah.
It's not public,
no.
But it is. Yeah. And it's like not.
There's a lot of kinks that fall in line with camming.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
I feel like whenever I come across, if I'm looking in like a fandom and I see like camboy so-and-so, I'm immediately intrigued.
Oh.
Like I'm immediately like, what is this?
Right.
What's going on here?
I'm always curious as to what, like, the plot is.
That's fair.
If it is porn with plot. If it's not, then it's like, okay, well, I know what's going on. But, like, I'm interested to see, like, how they incorporate it or, like, what the story is. Just, like, even if it's just, like, a little bit at the front and a little bit at the back, then it's like, okay, well, that's enough to give
the
you
one I read for this episode, camming is the entire thing. Because I was really picky about, like, I didn't want the camming to be, like, at the beginning only. Because, yeah, I feel like there is stuff like that. But I mean, like, I've never really thought of, like, a plot before just because of, like, I enjoy any form of plot, whether it be, like, the two characters that camp together or, like, one character finds the other character.
Right.
Like, even in the sense of, like, they know the person and then stumbled across them camming and it's like, oh, what is this?
Right.
Or, like, a person who is, like, really interested in this cam model and then like either runs into them in person or like they scheduled to meet up because like, you know, they're a fan or whatever. Yeah, I feel like I enjoy like each of those.
No, they're all good takes, which is the thing. I think I prefer when one person is the camming, doing the camming, and then the other person either joins in a way that doesn't reveal who they are.
Yeah.
Or just happens to learn that their partner does this or, like, that their friend does it. Like, that's my preferred kind of story.
I mean,
element.
It's what you wrote about.
It is what I wrote. And it's just, like, being a porn star and, like, doing that. And, like, I haven't read, like, a porn star one in, like, a long time. But, like, the idea of porn stars falling in love on screen and, like, people are able to tell, like, it's cute and, like, that kind of a thing. So I do like the one person is and the other person isn't.
It's like a regular non-sex worker person.
Yeah.
I will say I've never seen a kind of shift from the narrative in terms of like, it's either one of those two things. It's either like both are camming or like one is, I've never seen like anything else. And like maybe because there isn't anything besides that, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because I have read like porn star ones where it's like, they are individual porn stars that get together, but I guess I've never read one where it's, like, these two individual cam models who, like, start camming together. Like, I've read that for porn stars where it's, like, big porn star, other big porn star.
Yeah, and I feel like if we did more digging, that would probably be more, like, the camming people. Because, like, OnlyFans is a massive
platform
now.
Yeah.
And, like, that's only been within the past couple of years. So, I'm sure, I'm sure someone was like, oh, what if they did, like, a collab? And it's just, like, small content creation, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, I did, like, a hint of research. Obviously, when it comes to, like, the sex industry, there's, like, a lot of numbers and, like, a lot of legislation. That's not, like, the fun part, though. So, I only, like, pulled out, like, some, like, fun information about camming and, like, the start of camming. So, like, cam boy, cam girl, cam model is a person or a performer who streams on the internet to a live webcam broadcast. So, the cam person often performs erotic acts online, such as stripping, masturbation, or sex acts in exchange for money, goods, or attention. They may also sell videos of their performances. Once viewed as a small niche in the world of adult entertainment, camming became, quote, the engineer of the porn industry, according to Alec Hemley, the publisher of XBiz, a sex trade industry journal. Which I found very interesting that, like, camming is known as, like, the engine, like, the thing that keeps
I mean, that makes going. Sense, because it is, like, social media became very popular, and, like, globalization happened. It wasn't just, like, oh, you have to pay to get porn. Oh, you have to go pay for, like, these VHS or DVDs that have porn on them. And then, you know, people were like, oh, we can make our own website. We can make Pornhub. Like, we can have a website where we dedicate this. But then, obviously, live streaming has become massively popular. And it is very interesting to be like, oh, these people shape the business as
And I guess it is a very easy point of entry, almost, because, like, everyone's camera now, or, like, laptop nowadays, like, has a camera, like, and it's just a, not saying that, like, sex work is easy, but, like, an easy point of entry, almost, like, a very accessible point of entry.
Absolutely.
And as I was, like, saying that, do you remember, like, those ads that you would have where it's, like, sexy single near you wants to talk right now?
Right.
It's just, like, ads for, like, camming websites where it's just, like, sexy single near you wants to talk right this moment. Many webcam models operate in the comfort of their own home, and they are free to choose the amount of sexual content that they broadcast, which became a fair point for OnlyFans. Webcam models are predominantly women, but they do include performers of all genders and sexualities.
Right.
So, I mean, I didn't do research into the demographics of performers in the sex industry, but I would give to think that most of them, a high percentage of them, are women. Versus, like, men or other genders and sexualities.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I would just assume so. And I think sex work has been like that for hundreds of years.
For sure. I mean, it's the oldest industry, right? Like,
oh,
it's
absolutely.
Just, yeah. So, a little bit of information about, like, the start of camming. So, Jenny Ringley is considered the first cam girl. In 1996, as a student at Dickinson College, she created a website called Jenny Cam. She had a webcam in her dorm room, and it would automatically take photographs of her every few minutes. She viewed her site as a straightforward documentation of her life. She did not wish to filter the events that were shown on the camera, so sometimes it would show her nude or engaging in sexual behavior, including intercourse and masturbation. These images were then broadcast live over the internet. So 2 years later, in 1998, she divided the website's access between free and paying. So she saw, she was like, a lot of you are looking at...
at what I'm going,
specific
what
images.
On.
these specific images you guys are looking at a lot. So maybe I could make a chunk of change.
Right.
But that is very fascinating. Like, I didn't really, I'm going to be just honest with you. I didn't super dig into, like, Jenny and, like, whether it was, like, an experiment of any time or she was just like, I'm going to document my life online.
Right.
But even just the idea of, like, being, say, like, no censorship. Everything is on. Everything from me just, like, walking naked to the shower to, like, having a person over. And, I mean, you have to disclose, like, there's a camera
I'm
in my
sure.
room that takes a photo every 10 seconds. So it's going to take videos of us.
You would hope.
You would hope. And, I mean, even her, like, masturbating, like, I mean, that's a... did she expect it to get as popular as she... I don't know. I don't think I would ever think about doing anything like that.
I mean, it comes with the time, though, where it's, like, oh, the internet, like, at that point...
1996,
like, a new thing to be like, oh my god, the world wide web. So in any industry, you're gonna have people that are like, oh, no censorship, that I want to see things unfiltered, I want to see things as life is, which, like, I appreciate as an artist, like, and looking at art, it's like, this is what living is, this is what life's about. So me personally probably wouldn't do that, but, like, good for her.
Right.
Slay.
Right. So also in 1998, a commercial site called AmandaCam was launched. Amanda's site, like Ringley's, had multiple cameras around her house, which allowed people to look in on her. However, Amanda's website enabled viewers to chat with the performer online, changing the camming industry forever. Amanda made it a point to chat with her viewers for over 3 hours a day. Since the early days of live webcasts by Ringley and Amanda, the phenomenon of camming has grown to become a multi-billion dollar industry, which has an average of at least 12,500 cam models online at any given time, and more than 240,000 viewers at any given time.
Interesting.
Yeah. So camming, I wanted like disclaimers since we're talking about like the sex industry in this video, and it's very different than the other one I did, which was just like about a kink, where this is like specifically talking about an area of the sex industry that, like I said kind of in the beginning, camming is like not a quick and easy money scheme. Like, mm-hmm. No one can just hop online and think they can make like
a
good $100 just immediately. So do not take the fan fiction that I will be reading today or any fan fiction as like truth. Just like that should just be like a point.
If you're gonna do sex work, you gotta like look into it a lot. You be safe.
Yeah.
Like, know what you're getting yourself into.
Absolutely. So I just wanted to say, as someone with like a microphone and a podcast talking to like a couple hundred people, sex work is real work. The work is just as valid as anybody else's, and camming and other sex work is work no matter how many jokes we may be making through this episode, because we probably will be.
Probably.
I and Maya can say all day long about how easy it would be, how fun it would be, and like genuinely there's probably parts of the sex work industry that are fun, but neither of us have ever done sex work, so we don't know anything. So do not take anything we say as fact or like as the God's gospel truth, the same as this fan fiction. The fan fiction is a work of fiction, does not mean anything.
Right. As someone who has been on film sets,
yeah,
it's hard fucking work. Uh-huh. Like, it's not games all the time. There are fun parts. There are some really bad parts. I personally can't imagine doing sex work.
No.
It seems way too out of my realm. It seems very hard, mm-hmm. and very difficult.
It does.
So I have nothing but respect for people Absolutely. Who put themselves fully online.
Yeah. But I just wanted to come into this being like, any jokes that we make are just like not to heart. It's just the jokes that we make, and do not take them seriously. And don't take this fan fiction seriously. Don't take any fan fiction seriously. It's not sex education in the slightest.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Absolutely fucking not.
If you're turning fan fiction for sex education, something's gone wrong. So the fan fiction that I will be reading today is called More Views, More Money, which is very aptly named, by Herbivore Dinosaur, published in 2019. So it started September 18th and finished November 13th. It's 11 chapters, 36,000 words. It is explicit, obviously. And it is a Destiel fan fiction.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Listen.
I'm listening.
Take my hand.
Yep.
You know this was going to happen at some point, right? About a podcast about fan fiction. We were going to have to talk about Destiel at some point in time.
Yeah. You're so right, queen.
I'm so sorry to bring this trauma back to you today.
You're so right, queen.
I thought putting a little bit of camming and sexy time might help you, but we will be talking about Supernatural. Okay. Not really. Like, it's an AU, right?
Know,
it's a modern AU.
It's okay.
But it is about Dean Winchester and Castiel.
Yeah. It'll be okay.
You'll be okay. We'll have a great time. We're going to get through the episode today without too much trauma on your behalf from all the Supernatural shit that you...
Yeah, sure, man. Of course.
So it currently has 42,000 hits, about 2,800 kudos, 344 comments, and 600 bookmarks. And some of the tags are alternate universe college/university, porn with plot, roommates, friends to lovers, light dom and sub. So there's like light domming and light subbing. First time blowjobs, praise kink, skull fucking, cum swallowing, kink negotiation, pet names, mild pain play, angry sex, punishment, and aftercare. So if I didn't have to say it before, if you know who I am, turn the fucking episode off. I beg of you.
I'm here. Listen.
Yeah.
You want to know what's funny about this podcast?
Huh?
It's on my personal portfolio website. My employers, potential future employers might be listening to
you
this.
You made the monster fucker episode.
And I'm proud of that.
You are. You should be, honestly.
I'm proud
it's
of
one
that.
Of our best. It's some of our best work.
I know.
So, but I just wanted to put all the tags out there. It's not like a normal fan fiction where, like, if you're going into this sex, like, it's sex. I want you to go into this knowing what's coming at you, okay? Thank you. So we open the story with Cass double and triple checking with Dean that this is something that he is okay with and wants to do. And Dean, for the second, third, fourth time, tells Cass that he is not backing out. They are in this. But Cass is the one who's taking his sweet time messing with the laptop that was beside them, making sure the angle's right, that the camera's working, that the light from the screen is going to light up the area just right, you know, lighting up the necessary areas without less lighting up anything that will give away their identities. But before the show can begin, we jump back to the past to find out how these two ended up in this situation to begin with. So after losing yet another game of beer pong with Joe and Ash, Cass and Dean are stumbling around, falling all over each other as they try to make their way to the couch. They're kind of pissed, they're kind of drunk, and they're a little too touchy, and things get a little too close when faces fall into the couch and on the floor. But no matter how much teasing they get from their friends, Dean is adamant that they're not like that. "I didn't know you watched gay porn," Cass says to Meg. Among other things, it pays a pretty penny too. And this piques Dean's interest. "Come again?" "Come on, Dean, you gotta know how this works. More views, more advertisements, more money." "So you're telling me, all this time, I've been jerking off on my own. I could have been making money from it? And think how much more money you can be making if Cass were the one doing the jerking." And he could have blamed the alcohol or the fact that he knew that their heating was gonna get shut off for the second time this year if they didn't think of something quickly. And his friend looks at him, and Cass almost immediately knows what that smile that was making its way onto Dean's face really means. "Fine," Cass agrees reluctantly. "I'll jack you off for money."
Like a true friend.
Honestly, if you needed it, like if you were just like, serious? Yeah. If you came to me and you're like, "I'm going to be evicted." Yeah. I'd be like, "Well, start up that OnlyFans, you know?"
Press record, honey.
Press record. We'll do it.
Hey, man.
Anything for friendship, you know? Every girl needs a friend that will jack her off if she's in a hard place.
We're literally just girls.
I'm just a girl. I would what fuck am my I supposed friends
to,
for money.
Yeah, what am I supposed to do in this situation? Not fuck Sydney for money?
You would have fucked me for less.
For free. Absolutely. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
If you called me up and you're like, "Hey, girl, I need someone to eat me out real quick. Drive my little ass over here."
Yeah, he wouldn't even been like, "Oh, for free? Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm here for the homies first and foremost."
That makes a true friend.
That's what I'm here for.
So that brings us back to the current situation. They didn't get here the very next day, though. Sober Dean kind of ignored the proposal that he originally made to Cass until their heating was actually shut off, and he's really tired of taking cold showers. So now here they are, with Cass pressing the record button on his laptop and settling in the bed between Dean's legs. And the darkness is helping with the situation Dean has found himself in, with his roommate turned friend turned porn star ally? The only source of light being the laptop screen. But even with this minuscule amount of light, Dean can see that Cass is nervous. He's moving slowly, grazing his hands over his thighs and moving higher and higher. When his hands finally do touch him, Dean is surprised about what he feels. He was used to small, delicate hands on his body, but it feels really good, actually. It takes no time for Cass to push Dean over the edge, and before he's even aware again, the only source of light is gone as Cass stops the recording and closes the laptop. "You good, buddy?" Dean asks, hoping his friend wasn't freaking out, or maybe was freaking out, because Dean kind of was freaking out, and he's hoping that he's not the only one freaking out. "Yeah," Cass replies, very nonchalantly. "You?" "No, dude, you possibly gave me the best hand job of my whole fucking life. I am not okay." "Just peachy," he lies. Cass is so calm when he turns the light back on, transporting them back to just the normal bedroom, and tells Dean to clean up after and then come out to watch a movie. And they're having lunch on campus a couple of days later when Cass decides to announce, "I posted the video, by the way." And the curiosity gets the better of Dean, so he leans in and he lowers his voice. "Well, what's the word? Are we getting views or whatever?" "Oh, we're trending." "Trending? Are you fucking serious?" And they are number 6 on the straight friend tag.
the good old straight friends. They were just roommates.
They were just roommates.
Fine.
We're just, you know, guys being guys. What's of that course. Phrase?
Just helping out the bro.
I'm straight, but $20 is $20. A hand job's a hand job.
Hey, man. $20 is $20.
$20 is $20. This is a tag that Dean is just learning about, by the way, but he's still unsure as to if they will see any money from it. It's only been like a couple days, even if they are trending. So Cass gives Dean the login info for their account so that he can keep an eye on the payments if he'd like. Back at home, 3 beers down, Dean decides that right now is a great time to look at the video. And he's thinking, well, I just might as well check on the performance, the comments, the suggestions. Casts his hand on his dick. But, you know, among other things, for future possible porn videos, of course. Nothing, it's all business. Once on the account, he finds their video easily. And it's titled, Straight Guy's First Gay Touch. It's almost poetic. 4 days uploaded, and it's ranking nearly 2,000 views. The longer he stares at the video and the thumbnail with Cass's hand over Dean's boxers, the more he just wants to watch it. So, he does. And was he getting a little hot and bothered watching his own porno? Maybe. But was he gonna rub one off before his roommate, aka the other man in the video, gets home? Apparently, yes. Yes, he was. He keeps watching and remembering every touch, every feeling, every sensation from that day. He follows shortly behind Video Dean's orgasm, leaving him no better than the Dean on the screen. A straight guy's first gay touch. And hopefully not his fucking last. After his orgasm, he had spent the remaining time trying to understand the site better, how the monetary side of it works, and also delving into the comments left by those who viewed it. From his extensive data collection, the consensus was that they needed to hear because they had the noise shut off. So the first time, it was just plainly, like, there was no noise. You could barely see anything. They were just trying to be like, maybe if it doesn't work out, we can just bail on it. You know, we don't have to, nothing is tied back to us. But then a bunch of comments are like, we need to hear you moan, please.
Damn.
I want to hear that straight boy howl.
Straight up.
And you know what? Who was Dean to deny his beloved viewers? So what do you say? Dean says to Cass, audio. A video with me being loud and dirty. And anyways, you know what I mean. Let's give the people what they want. More views, more money. You in or what? And Cass agrees immediately. No argumentation whatsoever. And he's getting up to get his laptop before the few beers in his system wears off. And they're kind of scared again. So 20 minutes later, they've set up similar to before. Dean lets Cass do this thing, and he doesn't ask any questions. All Dean has to do is to be loud and come again. And both are easy to accomplish, especially when Cass is speaking to him in a voice Dean swears he's never heard before. He's torn from looking at Cass's hand on him, or just at Cass, and Dean wanted Cass to pick up the pace. His hips lift off the couch, but Cass stops him, bringing his forearm down over Dean's waist to push him back onto the cushion holding him there. He's like, holy crap. It's kind of doing something for me. Dean's chest heaves, his hips writhing but going nowhere because of how strong Cass is. So fucking strong, and fuck, it was really hot actually. And he was close. Cass, let's go. And Dean would be madder if he wasn't all kinds of turned on that Cass had denied him. And Dean is capital B begging. And he sounds pathetic. After what feels like a year, Cass restarts, and this time he doesn't cut him off at the very last minute. Are you okay? Cass asks when the recording is stopped. I should have asked before doing that first. I thought it would have been something the viewers would enjoy. Right. Yeah. The viewers. Chapter 3 is a POV from Cass's point of view. And right now he is looking at a $300 payment from their latest videos. Enough money to pay the heating bill and to get a sorely needed new couch. And to think all they needed to do was get a few orgasms out of Dean. $300 in their bank account, baby. The thought of becoming a male escort currently is seeming very alluring. Just keeping this up. I mean, any amount of money, you're suddenly like, I think I'll keep this up for a bit longer.
As is the capitalist in me.
Absolutely. I mean, as the person who wants to keep my rent, you know, keep living in the apartment that I have.
Yeah, probably.
Especially when it's like, oh, I kind of just need to touch the guy that I've had a crush on for a really long time until he cut. Hey, man.
Say less.
Literally say less. He's like, I would have done it for free. But look at me. $300 richer.
We're making it work.
Dean, being his partner, does help his dive into sex work. He hadn't anticipated his reaction to touching Dean to be as intense as it was. Cash did cherish their friendship, but he was not blind by any means of the words. It's been days since their last hookup, but looking at the comments, feeling bad for the gay guy not getting any action, quote-unquote, from their commenters, Cass knows what idea he was going to bring to Dean next. So he loosens Dean up with some alcohol and the good news of their payment before telling him about his idea. You know, I noticed some of the comments on the video were requesting that you give me a blowjob. What are your thoughts on it? And Cass expects Dean to deny the idea immediately, but Dean's only worry was that he'd actually never given one before, and it might not be good for Cass. So Dean suggests an element of Cass coaching Dean through his first blowjob. This time, the roles are reversed. Cass is on the bed, with Dean hitting record, pushing Cass onto the bed and kneeling between his legs. He reaches up to touch Dean's shoulder, fighting the urge to touch his face. He doesn't want Dean to be anxious about this. He wants Dean to let go like he did the other times. When he forgot that it was Cass, that he was being filmed and just basked in the moment, completely unhinged and unafraid. So he's gentle with his teaching, and he constantly praises Dean. And Dean listens attentively, nodding along to Cass's words. And Dean was breathtaking. Cass reaches to touch Dean, but then he remembers where he was, who he was, and all he cared about was taking care of Dean. Unexpectedly, Dean's hand takes Cass's wrist, and he lifts it up into a place in Dean's hair. "Are you sure?" he asks. "Let go, man. Enjoy it. Because I sure as hell am." And Cass takes this statement all the way to the bank. When he's gathering his sense of agency and he's trying to pull himself back to reality, he finds it harder to do that this time. He wonders if Dean had this difficulty. The difficulty not to grab his friend and bring him in close after he is blissfully pushed over the edge. And what he really wants to do is to kiss Dean. So he reaches his hand out, and suddenly panic appears on Dean's face. He moves off the bed, darting to the door and leaving it wide open as he crosses the living room to his own room and slams the door shut behind him. Cass makes himself scarce the following morning after spending the remainder of the night locked in his room. He can't bear to look at Dean. And that night, he decides to drown in a copious amount of alcohol at his brother Gabriel's party. He's properly buzzed when Dean arrives, and he can tell Dean has also had a few drinks, but even still, he won't make eye contact with Cass. He really hopes that he hadn't ruined their friendship, and he needs to talk to Dean, but before he's able to, Dean is pulled away by a girl. Cass can't handle these sour feelings he feels looking at them, not at least when he's drunk. He leaves in search of something or someone to help him forget. It doesn't take long before there's a hand around his waist, a body pushes up against his, hands under his shirt, and Cass welcomes it. He isn't much of a dancer, but this he can do. The slow grind to a sway of the music, creating enough friction to entice his partner upstairs. In the crowd, he spots Dean, dancing with the girl from earlier, but this time, when Dean looks up and finds Cass, he doesn't look away. His eyes drag over them, seeing what they are doing. The girl turns in his arms, hands reaching up to run through his hair. He's frozen, looking at Dean and then the girl, only unfreezing when he feels teeth in his neck. He curses his partner, and in the same breath, Dean has his hand on him, pushing his partner off to check on Cass. Dean is all over him, and Cass tries to push away, not wanting to freak Dean out more with his contact. He tries to create distance, but Dean has only tightened his grip, not letting him move away. Why didn't he want Cass to move away? And he needs to get out of this crowd. Cass shoves Dean, making enough space to slip away. He finds an empty bathroom, closing the door behind him and gasping for air. And there's a knock at the door that he ignores until the person knocks again. So Cass swings the door open, about to give whoever it was an earful when Dean's hand shoves him back inside. Dean closes and locks the door behind him. And Cass is having a hard time catching up to Dean's intent in being here before Dean crosses the space between them, shoving Cass into the wall. He's waiting for the first punch to hit him, but those hands instead lift the end of Cass's shirt and undo his belt. Cass joins Dean until Cass is on his knees. He's not there long until Dean pulls him off with an idea of something he wants to try. He lifts Cass up to stand. His hands make quick work of the rest of Cass's pants until he has both of them in his hand. Cass can't help but laugh at what Dean is attempting to do. "What are you laughing at?" Dean asks. "Have you been watching gay porn, Dean?" Dean nods, like you wouldn't believe. Cass holds onto Dean's shoulder for stability and starts to roll his hips up and down. Dean works them both, muttering incoherent words to Cass, though every now and then he'd hear his name being called out. His name in Dean's mouth sounds like a sworn confession. "Get your phone out," Dean says. Completely on board with this, Cass takes his phone out and positions the camera in between them for an impromptu porno. When the video is done, they have come back down to earth. Cass isn't sure what to do next. eyes seeming to drift back to Dean. He's about to ask if they were okay when Dean reaches out to run his thumb along Cass's bottom lip. He parts them on reflex, thumb slipping in an inch, then slipping out to bring it to his own mouth to taste. The same gesture Cass did the night before. Dean wakes up with a splitting hangover and very few memories of the night before. Cass is there almost immediately with a glass of water, almost as if he's been waiting for him to wake up. His hand rubs his back. He's not gonna lie, it feels really nice. Then all of the memories come crashing into him. The party, the dancing, the guy all over Cass, the bathroom. Honestly, Dean is surprised Cass is being this nice to him right now. What would I do without you? You'll never have to find out, Cass replies. And Dean hates how his heart seems to swell at that comment. Dean and Cass were back to normal after that. Any phantom feelings from those two nights were slipping away from Dean's short-term memory, and he's glad about it. The whole, do I have feelings for my gay best friend, were a pain to deal with on top of the college work he had to get through. With the end of the year fast approaching, the two boys were knee-deep in papers and exams and hadn't touched a drink since that night. The straight-laced, unlaced account lay dormant for about 3 weeks because of it. That didn't mean the views, the comments, and the money didn't stop coming in. Dean was very thankful for all of them. He was more than happy to take the edge off of this hour-long study session by watching their videos. He pulls up the video they use and stops when he sees a video. He clicks on it, watches it, and can't help but think of himself and Cass in place of the people on the screen. His mind is hazed over, and he sends the URL to Cass and adds, "You in?" Question mark. Just to make it clear what Dean is trying to get at with the video. Then he's just staring at the screen. He knows Cass is online, but why isn't he looking at the message? A text bubble pops up, disappears, pops up, disappears again, and Cass just replies, "Yes." Dean is out of his chair, knocking on Cass's door in milliseconds. He's all soft clothes and messy hair when he opens the door for Dean and tells him that he needs to finish something first. And he makes Dean wait and wait and wait until Dean is practically begging. And when Cass is good and ready, he finally goes to Dean waiting on the bed. He asks Dean if he really wants what was in that video. Face fucking.
I don't think I could do it. I get the ick when like someone like touches my head.
Right.
And it's like, fucking let me do what I need to. Don't touch me like that.
I feel like if I was comfortable enough.
I feel like if I trusted the person enough and beforehand they were like, hey.
Yes.
This is something I want to try. Yes. Would you be down? Then I'd be like, yeah, like that's not a problem. If it's just like a hookup.
No. I don't know if I do it because let's say they have 1, 2, 3 hookups. This will be their 4th. I don't know if I could do it the 4th time hooking up with someone. No. Like
we'd have to be a solid, like over 6 months into a relationship for me to be like, okay.
Whatever you want. You know what I mean? Like that's also the idea of going from like you've given your first blowjob. We're going to jump all the way to face fucking now.
That's insane. I'm sorry.
That is such a steep jump.
That is like, that is fucking crazy. Because, like, you're going to throw up.
You are. I would.
No, I would, too. I would. That's the thing. It was like, even at the stage I am now, I was like, I would puke.
I would. I've been led before, and I've had to, like, tap out. I've had to be like, you got to stop. I can't do it. Like,
no.
I can't do it that, like, I would just. Never. It could. Again, within the right partner. And I don't think if it was, like, can we do this tonight? I'd be like, give me a couple days to think on it. You know what I mean?
No, if it was like, okay, we talked about it.
Uh-huh.
We're setting a day.
Yeah.
Or like, maybe within the next week, mm-hmm. we can try this. If we're in the mood, then it's like, okay.
Right.
All right. I am mentally prepared for that. I'm okay.
But yeah, just thinking about like, well, my first blowjob versus like, I mean, I've done them for a while now. And even now I'm like, no.
No.
But, like, you're built different if you're like, I gave my first blowjob 3 days ago, and now I'm ready for face fucking.
Nope. You must have a jaw of steel and no gag reflex.
No gag reflex. That's the thing. No gag reflex. No.
That's fucking insane.
Like, yeah, I've seen them, and they look too entertaining. And I guess it would have to be for the partner that, like, you enjoy seeing the pleasure, like, of your partner, like, more than anything else. Because, like, come on. Like, that's what it's.
No, absolutely.
That's what it's for in the end. Like, let's be honest. Like, that's the only way that I'd be able to be like, we're in love. I get off to your pleasure more than my own pleasure at this point kind of situation. And I have been, like, jaw training for about 2 weeks, you know, because it's not happening regardless. And you'd have to, like, I don't know, have you ever seen those, like, throat sprays that, like, numb the back of your throat so that you don't... I'm skeptical about them, but I feel like I'd also have to do that to be like, no, I'm not going to throw up.
No, there would have to be, like, set up and, like, prep and then severe aftercare afterward. Yeah. Like, it's not...
Like... It's not just, like, you want to do this? Immediately running.
No.
We're doing it right now.
I'm okay.
But that is what Dean is doing. And just as before, Cass teaches him through it. But Dean also remembers their lesson from last time, and he learns very, very quickly this time. And Cass pulls out, breathing in sharp and loud, and he goes down on his knees, leveling himself with Dean, who has his mouth still open, spit and cum all over his face. And he only has one question. Was I good? Yeah, really good. Cass replies, not even skipping a beat. Your turn now. And Cass goes down on Dean pretty normally until he goes lower and lower and lower until he's touching a place that he has never been touched before. Dean's orgasm builds and hits him hard, harder than even the incredible things Cass has done to him previously. He's boneless, warm, euphoric as Cass takes care of him. He enjoys this feeling of Cass cleaning him up, never wanting to come down. And when Cass is done, he joins Dean in his bed. The thought of having to go back to his room and to leave Cass aches slightly. Cass, can I stay? He asks quietly. And the desk lamp goes out. A hand goes around his middle. And Dean takes that as a yes. He wakes up to an empty bed. An empty bed that was not his own. In the 3 years of being Cass's friend, they had never shared a bed. And he wanted to say that he was being very cool about it all. But the truth was that he was very much freaking out. Because bed sharing was very intimate. Bed sharing after what they did last night. Very, very intimate. Cass had his mouth on his ass for crying out loud. It couldn't get any gayer than that.
Real.
And he's holding on to this last shred of the idea that what they are doing is just sex and nothing more so that he can get through his exams. He's with a friend, specifically the friend who had introduced them to the idea of having sex on camera. And she notices that Dean has some odd marks around his neck that weren't there yesterday. Looks like you have little bruises on your neck. She moves around his body. And on the other side, too. And there's only one person who could have made those marks. Cass held his head so tightly that it bruised Dean's neck.
Too much for me.
Not for me.
Too much for me.
I
don't mind bruising and stuff like that, but to be like, I'm going to grab your head so hard.
I feel like you wouldn't notice it in the act, though. Like, you'd be so into it that, like, that's the kind of shit where you're like,
I wouldn't
fuck.
That's true.
But I feel like you wouldn't notice, like, in the moment. Mm. Like, it's that shit where, like, you look in the mirror the next morning and you're like, what the fuck happened? Like, right. I was there, but, like, was I there? Like, oh, my God. Mm.
Interesting.
So, I feel like... I mean, I'm pretty okay with it. So, I understand what you mean, though. I feel like the hand holding is different than, like, a hickey. Where, like, it is very, like, it's very hard.
That's the thing is, like, wow, your fingers fucking made those, like, by holding.
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, that'd be uncomfortable.
Well, because at first when I read this for the first time, I thought they were hickeys. And then I kept reading and I was reading and I was like, oh, you held his head so high.
That's too much for me.
I'm the one who gripped you tight and raised you from perdition. Dean's trying to be calm about it, brushing her off, but she keeps asking who this girl is, who this kinky girl who's very far from Dean's usual hookup is. And again, Dean refuses to indulge her, and she's like, okay, don't tell me. But before they separate, she says this: you might want to tell your bathroom stall hookup to hide his marks better. I think Meg's character in this is fascinating because it's like, she's the, like, the, in this fic at least, she's the one who, like, introduces them to porn and, like, knows, the only person that, like, knows they do porn,
right,
basically. And it's like the idea of, like, I've uploaded a couple of amateur ones and they're like, I stumbled across your video on, like, Twitter. I've seen you.
If I ever stumbled across, like, my friends
yeah
on websites.
Mm-hmm. Would you say anything to them?
No.
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 Not a word.
No, unless it was like, oh, hey, guys, like, I'm doing sex work now, or I'm posting
They've
videos.
They've told you already.
Right, yeah. If it was, like, a discussion we've already had, then it'd be like, haha, LMAO, guess what I just found? Like, good for you. Because even then, I was talking to a different friend about, like, dating apps.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I always swipe yes on people that I know because I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, not, I'm not interested in them at all, but I'm like, ha, what if we match? And then we, like, talk. Like, it's funny to me just to be like, hi, how are you? And use it as, like, a normal messaging app. And, like, one of my other friends was like, that's fucking weird. And I was like, you're weird. Like, what the fuck? Because they were like, oh, I saw you on Hinge. And I, like, swiped no. And I was like,
oh.
Rude? What the fuck?
I guess if they're my, like, actual friends, I will. But I've known people who swipe right on, like, people they knew from high school.
See, I did do that, but only right after I got out of high school.
Okay.
Like, people I knew at the time. Like, the year after high school or right up until COVID.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I will. Like, it's funny, haha.
Yeah.
If I see people from high school, I'm like, ew, gross, get out.
Yeah.
But it's, like, people I know and, like, I'm able to, like, text and be like, isn't this fucking hilarious?
Yeah. No, because I had a girlfriend of mine. We both found each other on, like, the lady side of Hinge, and we were just like, hi.
Yeah.
But, like, I've known people who is just like, if I just see anyone who I recognize from high school, I'll swipe right on them. And I'm like, you're crazy for that. What? I would never do
the
that.
It's like, I'm almost 5 years out of high school.
I know,
like,
but
it's,
like,
it's too much.
Yeah, it's too much. And it's like, I would even like, I was like, even the people you weren't friends with, she's like, yeah, if I just knew them from a class.
That's insane.
And then she would just send a message that's like, I know you.
No, I'm okay. This is, like, I'm talking about, like, people I talk to every once in a while. Like, I'm friends with. Like, not like, oh, we had a class together.
But never actually communicated.
But never had, like, an actual conversation. Yeah. Like, if I have them on, like, Instagram or Snapchat or even their phone number.
Right.
I'll match and be like, this is funny.
Yeah.
This is a funny bit for me. I don't care if you're uncomfortable. I think it's funny.
Times that by 10, sex work. She knows. He doesn't know how she knows, but she knows. And he doesn't even bother knocking before bolting into Cass's room, completely panicked. He's rambling. She saw the bruises. He doesn't know how she knows, but she knows, and he's freaking out. And Cass is doing his best to calm him down. And there's not much he can say to do that. You know, they can delete the videos, but that still doesn't delete them from her memory. Still, they could delete them. Maybe not post a new one of them they made the night before. And Dean sees Cass is editing that video. You know, right before he rudely barged in. So it's just right there on the computer. He says, how's it going? Well, there was actually a lot more editing than usual. Can I watch? You want to watch me edit it? Why not? It'll be, like, a cool, like, behind the scenes and just kind of cool together to see how you, like, put it together. And, well, you know, my laptop screen is kind of small for two people, but we could put it out on the TV. And their porno on a bigger screen doesn't sound nerve-wracking at all. But when Dean scratches at the back of his neck, his skin shivers when he hits the sensitive bruises. And who is he to say no? What he doesn't account for is that while they watch their porno together, they can't use their laptop to film the other things it might lead to. So either nothing is going to happen tonight, or it will no longer be sex for the camera for money. It would just be for themselves.
Hot.
Hot, yeah.
Yeah. That's all I got to say about that.
Would you do, like not, like, make, like, porn, but, like, have, home, like, a home, like, videos? A home video?
I have definitely thought about it before.
Yeah.
Because I do find it very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, I'd have to be with the right person, the right partner, but I do think I would.
Yeah. And then you throw it up on the big screen to get a round two out of it.
Hey, man, might as well.
You might as well. I don't know. I don't know. Like, that's one of the things where, like, I don't know if, like, I feel like I would let myself be recorded with, like, the right person. I don't know if I could then watch myself afterwards.
Again, I feel like if I'm that far into a relationship with someone where I'm like, I trust them enough.
Right.
Not only to see me naked, to have sex with me.
And put it on camera.
And record it. But it's also like, I'm kind of banking on this person that I'm in a relationship with to be like, oh my God, you're so hot. Oh my God, you're
That's
so sexy.
True.
Like,
especially if it, like, they know you and they want to hear, like.
Right.
To just have them, like, audio of that. Like, I don't even need, like, the video.
It would be more attractive to see them getting off to the video and then being like, all right, fuck.
Yeah, you're right. When you're right, you're right.
When I'm right, I'm right.
Yeah.
Girl, I've thought about this before.
I haven't. Like, I just genuinely, like, I've thought of the idea of, like, would I be filmed? Like, maybe, yeah, like, with the right person, but, like, watching myself, I think I would more get off to the audio of it rather than, like, the video of it.
Right.
Because, like, yeah, being able to, like, listen to my person over and over again, I'd be like, I could just make an ASMR out of this. I could just cut me out of this, honestly, and just listen to you. And I would have a scrumdiddlyumptious time.
There you go.
You know? And watching himself on a large screen being more submissive than Dean ever thought he would be turned Dean on more than he ever thought it would. The marks on Dean's neck start to tingle, like they remember being formed. He was doing so well, sitting so still and watching their video until those two little lines appear. Was I good? So good. Now it's your turn. And Dean immediately gets off the couch to kneel between Cass's legs. And Cass does not protest. If anything, he welcomes this. Cass pulls Dean off of him after a while and pulls him up on top of him. Involuntarily, Cass bucks his hips up to rub himself under Dean's ass. They both pause. Cass trying to assess if Dean is okay, and Dean trying to assess if he likes it or not. And Cass does it again. Yeah, he likes it very much. And this is new, but good. And this is pretty much all that they're doing, this slow to frantic grinding until they're close. And Dean needs something else to push him over the edge, and he knows exactly what that is. Dean wraps his hands around Cass's neck and crushes his mouth against his. A fire awakening in him as he feels Cass melt into his mouth. Dean keeps kissing him through their release and keeps kissing him long after as well. Cass can't deny him. They were too content living in their little bubble, basking in their afterglows. 2 days pass, and Cass can't stop thinking of the kiss. Dean kissed him, an actual kiss filled with such beautiful desperation. Cass's exams are torture since it. His mind keeps hovering back to that moment. He would be surprised if he got above a 70 in any of the remaining exams, especially when Dean is now texting him with little X's and O's. And who's got Clarence smiling like a teenage schoolgirl? Cass looks to the side, where Meg stands. Let me guess. Dean. It would be a meaningless task trying to convince you otherwise, I'm guessing. Completely. And his friend, while she's having fun teasing him, she knows that Cass has his full heart in this. Dean isn't some hookup that he meant nothing to. He's a person, someone Cass cares deeply about. And she knows this would lead to a world of hurt. Just be careful, okay? He might be up for moving some furniture around with you on the internet, but that doesn't mean he's ready for the real world and to see how you make him feel. And she is right. Cass admitting his feelings to Dean would be difficult. He's out, and he's been out for some time, but Dean is a wild card. He could be resistant to it, or worse, completely reject and deny it, and that would crush Cass. This conversation wouldn't be easy, and they'd have to talk about it eventually, but not right now. Dean and Cass celebrate their end of exams with getting their favorite dinner and going to Gabriel's house to party their cares away. And this party is better. Dean and Cass aren't in a weird spot. The alcohol is loosening them up, and they're not worried about being touchy, and they're touching quite a lot. But Cass isn't the only one Dean is touching. At one point in the party, Cass sees Dean going upstairs with a girl. And maybe it's the whiskey, or maybe it's Meg in his ear, but Cass storms upstairs, tells the girl that there's another girl throwing up and calling for her downstairs so that he and Dean are alone together. What exactly were you planning to do with her? Have a little fun, Dean replies. Didn't realize I needed your permission. Your mistake then. What now? You gonna punish me? Absolutely, he is.
Damn.
They leave without saying goodbye, not wanting to draw any attention to themselves. They walk back to their apartment. The walk back to their apartment was fueled with drunken electricity. They stumble over each other, limbs brushing, and Cass can't wait to get Dean back to their place. Cass is more dominant this time, more demanding, but still keeping vigilant attention to the way Dean is feeling, making sure he's not pushing Dean too much too fast. How are you feeling? Good, Dean replies, without skipping a beat. Really fucking good. If you want to stop at any time, I know, Dean interrupts him. I trust you. Cass still wants to punish Dean. And what's better punishment than edging? they're at this for a while. Cass cutting Dean off right before he tips over the edge. And he's done it so much that Dean's begging, crying for a release. Cass has him right where he wants him, in a state where if Cass asks, "You're mine, Dean, aren't you?" Dean says back, "Yeah. Yeah, I am." Dean wakes up in bliss until he remembers whose warm body is pressed against his back. He feels good, really good, and yet his brain is screaming at him to run for the hills, get as far away from Cass as possible. He begins to move away from the comfort of Cass when he's pulled back closer. "Are you freaking out?" Cass mumbles. "A little. Just a little. Okay, a lot." And he's about to speak, but Cass beats him to it with a kiss. Dean melts. Kissing Cass is the best, and even with his internal freakout going on, somehow kissing Cass dims it just for a moment. When they eventually pull away, Dean opens his eyes to see Cass staring at him. Bright blue eyes filled with such affection he never saw before in him. "Better." Dean presses his forehead to Cass's, biting back the smile. "You can't just kiss me every time I freak out, Cass." "I don't see why not. I like kissing you." It makes no sense. This was Cass. He managed to be his friend and roommate for years without getting any of these feelings. But now he feels like his heart is going to explode from his chest, and the only destination it had was in Cass's hands. As much as he craved this and more, his brain was beginning to play tricks on him again. "I'm scared," he admits. "You don't need to be. Easy for you to say you're out. Then stay in for now." That made Dean pause. "You're saying that you'd wait for me? Coming out is personal. I would never force you to do something you didn't want to. As long as I get to enjoy you behind closed doors while I can, for a while. I can wait for a while." Those words settle every screaming thought in his brain. He doesn't have to rush this. He could take his time. Cass would wait till he was ready. I am a patient man after all. And they fill their summer on the road in Dean's car. Cass and Dean reopened, straight-laced, unlaced, and reaped it for all its worth. The money rolled in with each new video and one drunken night just outside of Sioux Falls where they did a live show. The relationship continues to develop to whatever this was. Things didn't really change all that much between them. He wants to be with Cass. That's all Dean knows. They're driving to Dean's home. Cass offers to take a bus back to his family, who is close by, but Dean doesn't want them to be apart for more than a few hours. And everything is good. Dean's family is warm and welcoming. It's easy for Cass to get lost in the fantasy. And I suppose he does, as he divulges to Dean's mother that he is seeing somebody. He doesn't say who, but she's happy for him. Dean, on the other hand, is not happy at all. What seems like such a small conversation was huge to Dean. He knows that Cass wished for more, but Dean isn't ready for that. Cass respects it, but that doesn't mean he has to like it. Most of the time he chooses to ignore it, but he couldn't now. "What the hell was that back there?" "What was what back where?" "You fucking know what, telling my family about this guy you're seeing. You think that was funny or something?" "They didn't suspect anything, if that is your concern. Not that they'd care. You heard what they'd said. They love to meet him. Meet you. You said you'd fucking wait for me, but now you're pushing me and..." He turns to leave, not being able to be in the same space as Cass right now. But Cass pulls him back. "Don't walk away from me, Dean. You don't get to walk away from me. Why are you pushing me? Because I'm tired of waiting. You said you'd fucking wait. Not forever, Dean. I can't keep doing this, pretending I don't feel things when I do, pretending I don't want you every waking moment. You're mine, Dean, and I want the world to see it." He wanted it too, but his heart and brain were at a constant war with each other. "I can't, Cass," he says, voice cracking, losing the fight. "I can't do it." "You can. I'm with you. I'll protect you." He shakes his head again. He feels weak, pathetic. All he wants was to be with Cass, and yet his stupid brain stops him, holding him back from something great, something amazing. Cass deserves to be with someone who was brave. He wasn't that, but he hoped one day he could be. If Cass waited a little longer, he would try. Dean links his fingers through Cass's, bringing his hands up to kiss his knuckles. "I'm sorry," he whispers. "Me too." Cass takes his face in his hands, wiping his tears away, though more continued to fall. "I'll try," Okay, I promise. I'll try, Cass. It's all I can promise right now. It's all I ask. And I'll be with you every step of the way. And he believed him. Later that night, when the rest of the family is returned, the house is quiet. Sam goes to his brother's room, but he stops himself once he sees them. Dean and his best friend in the same bed, Cass's arms holding his brother close. Leave them alone, son, his dad whispers, startling Sam. You knew? John closes Dean's door quietly. He looks at Cass like he hung the damn moon. A wide smile crosses Sam's face. His brother had someone after all. He had Cass. Dean wakes up to soft kisses peppering the side of his face. They make the hair on his skin stand to attention, especially the ones Cass plants under his jawline. One of Cass's hands start to draw patterns on his chest, fingers trailing aimlessly around. He liked Cass like this. He liked to think Cass couldn't help himself. It made Dean feel wanted. They spent the morning reveling in the other's body, worshipping their skin and sweat. And when their bubble of warmth and bliss is popped by a knock at the door, they dress, unlock the door, and kiss, ready for the day and the days beyond. They run into Dean's dad on the landing. Didn't peg you for an AC/DC fan, Castiel, he says. The two of them quickly look down, realizing that they had put on each other's shirts by accident. Dean in Cass's plain navy t-shirt and Cass in Dean's worn-out Rock Band top. Cass is about to remove it when Dean stops him. But Dean, the connotations of wearing someone else's clothing. I'm trying, remember? The look of pure joy on Cass's face makes Dean's heart swell. The rest of their summer together pass by quickly. Cass didn't want it to end, and there were a couple of signs that Dean was also reluctant to return. Summer had been everything and more. Beautiful sights to take photographs, at least half of them of Dean, if he were being honest. He had more photos to develop than he knew what to do with. And Dean did what he promised. He tried. From that morning at his parents' house, letting Cass keep his t-shirt all the way up to embracing him in a kiss outside a jazz club in the French Quarter of New Orleans. He was expecting Dean to slightly retreat into himself once they were back into their daily lives, but they had 3 days before then. Dean rolled into the parking spot and killed the engine, but he didn't get out of the car. Cass didn't rush him out. Thank you for the summer, he murmurs. It ain't over yet. 3 more days, and we're making the most of it. Are we? Absolutely. Because neither of them were going to go into their final year of college without crossing the finish line. The following night felt a little like deja vu. Cass fiddles with his laptop, setting it up, making sure the angles are right for their next keepsake. The money was a mere added bonus at this stage for Cass when it came to their porn account. He hadn't expected Dean to be the one to ask for this moment to be broadcasted to their viewers. They're getting impatient, Dean says, showing Cass his phone screen. He's lying down on his bed, completely relaxed, completely naked, scrolling on his phone. A far cry from the beginning of these videos. He could see the nerves roll off of Dean then, and now he looks at home, where he belongs, on Cass's bed. The rolling comments pop up one after the other, and Cass was beginning to get as patient as them. So he brings his attention back to the laptop, finishing it up and hitting the large red icon on their website to start the live stream. Crawling up the body before him, Dean rises up on his elbows to meet Cass's mouth. When they meet, he sighs. Dean takes Cass's face in his hands, not finished kissing him. Today wasn't play. Cass wanted Dean in whatever way he chose to be. He surrounds Dean's body, holding him, letting him know that Cass had him completely. The entire time, Cass doesn't even notice the camera or the comments. He was so enthralled in Dean, so focused on them in this moment. He was so beautiful, it hurt. They catch their breath, heads nuzzling in their mushy afterglows. Cass tilts his head to kiss Dean once more before he has to leave to shut off the live feed. He moves over to the laptop, careful to keep his face out of view, but not before he clocks one of the most liked comments on the feed. True love never looked so rough. You two are adorable, loved up sex gods. Cass chuckles, shutting off the feed and closing the laptop. He crawls back to Dean, wanting to wrap him up and hold him close, which Dean welcomes. What are you laughing about? Dean asks. Just a comment. What did it say? Cass kisses Dean's hair. It doesn't matter. You know, I'll find out later when I read them all. Then you'll find out later. Dean does find out later. How long he had known, Cass isn't aware of. He just knows when they walk their way into the main campus and come to their usual crossroads to bid their goodbyes, Dean catches Cass and hauls him in for an unexpected kiss. His brain goes a little dizzy as Dean kisses him with such desire. They break away from each other, and Dean doesn't make an attempt to move away, so Cass stays put, trying to capture this moment like a photograph. And when Dean's mom asks them at Thanksgiving for the story of when they first told each other they loved one another, Dean nearly chokes on his drink, and Cass has to hide his smile. They obviously can't tell her the true story, so Cass says the next best believable thing. A friend had mentioned we looked in love, and neither of us could really deny it, Dean finishes. And at least that part was true. And that was More Money, More Views by Herbivore Dinosaur.
Wow.
Great. You know, I was going to throw love in here somehow.
It's what you do.
It's what I do. Everyone should always expect it, all the time. But you know what? Love on camera. I mean, to the end, they're still camming.
That's money.
That's money. Even though at the end it wasn't for the money.
It was for the money, okay?
It would, like, it is just, like, a fun idea, like, at the end to just be like, yeah, we're in love, we're boyfriends, and now we just have sex on camera. And we make money from it. Great.
Hey, man, why not?
I mean, there's OnlyFans about the same exact thing.
Yeah.
But I had the idea when I was reading it, how fun it is for, like, the viewers. Because could you imagine, like, finding episode one, like, day one, video one. And then slowly over time, you're like, are they? Seems like they're.
Right.
I'm not sure. And then at this one, they're like, they did fall in love. He got the straight man to fall in love with him, guys.
Huge.
Like, that would just be also a lot of fun for the viewer being like, found this video on the My Straight Friend tag. And suddenly, I think they're in love.
Interesting.
So I enjoyed it. I loved that, like, camming went throughout all of it. Like, mm-hmm. even for the summer, they're like, they did a live feed, like, just out in the open one night. They just decided to do a live feed, and they'd take like a video in the bathroom, like an impromptu kind of thing. So I really enjoyed that there was camming like throughout all of it, like all the way to the end, where it's just like, listen, like, I know this started off as like a one-off thing, but here we are. We got all your firsts on camera. I always enjoy camming fic. They're great.
Healthy dose of cam fic today.
Yeah. I mean, mixed in with the love and shit. And I really enjoy how it was just kind of, it just one chapter was just like, fuck, I'm in love with you, aren't I? And Cass is just like, yep. Which, like, I feel, at least for me and my experiences, like, when it comes to sex, like, that's kind of how it happens. Or it's like, you, whatever the scientific chemicals behind it, where it's like endorphins and fucking all that shit, and suddenly it's like, oh, I'm more attached to you than I thought I was.
Right. Absolutely.
Especially with all the shit that we've done.
It was good.
Yeah.
I'm not used to, like, the storyline and love and stuff. It's usually just sex.
Yeah. I was trying to get away from just like a one shot, like a two chapter kind of thing, and I went through quite a few before I found something that I was
gonna
say.
I was like, most cam stuff is just straight up like
just sex.
This is the point. Yeah, like, this is why you're here.
Which I get it. We love porn without plot. I'm always here for it. I'm always here for a good time. But in terms of the podcast, I was like, I gotta find plot. There's gotta be plot in here somewhere. And that plot, of course, was falling in love. I mean, come on.
It's Sydney.
That's
the only plot point she knows.
That's all I know in life is be girl, fall in love. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm just a girl.
She's just a girl.
Standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her. But for now, I will keep reading cam fics because you keep writing them and I keep reading them. And they're so good.
Hey, man.
They're
great. Provide.
They do. Honestly, like, the people who write, like, explicit fan fiction are the backbone of this country.
Absolutely.
Backbone of this country, they
Absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, listen, no published book is ever going to have porn like that.
Nope. Nope.
Editors make you take that shit out.
Yep.
Which is like, what? Then what's the point?
I don't know.
Then what's the point of the fucking book?
I don't know.
The whole point of this book, the whole point of the Fabio book, is to fuck.
Yeah, my grandmother's generation was doing it right. What happened? We used to be a country.
Now you want to take the porn out of my Fabio book? No fucking
How
way.
Dare you? I'm going to take this to Congress, way. All the way up through the Supreme Court. This is a crime, a criminal offense.
I can't fucking believe this.
What happened to the horny middle-aged women everywhere? they deserve those horny Fabio books.
No, I think you're forgetting that women's sex, women's pleasure mm-hmm. doesn't matter.
No, you're right. Yeah, I forgot. I got ahead of myself.
Sorry.
I got too wrapped up in those feminist ideals, those silly little things.
You're so silly. You're being so goofy.
I'm just a
right
girl.
Now.
I'm so stupid all the time. I know nothing.
Read your stupid fucking books.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I only know cook, clean, have baby,
eat hot chip,
eat hot chip, lie.